This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is KYWZ in Bush. Artificial intelligence of tomorrow depends on what we put into it today, our values, our priorities, our humanity. So we have to take deliberate action if we want to ensure AI serves society and not just the bottom line. That's what Dr. Cornelia Walter says. She's a senior fellow at Penn and a global thought leader on AI. I spoke with her about her newest book, Human Leadership for Humane Technology, The New AI, Agency Ignited. I began by asking her own personal relationship with AI.
I haven't decided yet if I want to have a relationship with it. Right now, I have one of cautious curiosity, I would say. But I think there seem to be two groups or two clusters of conversation. One, which is the gloomy side of things, that AI is going to eradicate all of us at some point. In the meantime, it's eliminating all the jobs. And then there's the other side of things, which is, oh, this is fantastic. This leads to ever more efficiency and effectiveness. But I think there are two aspects which commonly fall between the cracks, which is, on the one hand, we can't expect from the technology of tomorrow to live up to values that the humans of today are not living up to. So the old MIT saying, garbage in, garbage out. But we have a choice in that, which is values in, values out. But that is, in a way, a radical invitation to turn 180 degrees around and face our own humanity. And the other aspect is that if we want to have a future where everybody has a fair chance to fulfill their inherent potential, well, then we should maybe envision that and start to reverse engineer from that best point of departure, rather than having a passive attitude of gobbling every new model down without giving much thought about what we can do to get the best outcomes.
And I want to have you unpack some of those. One of the things you wrote is the biggest challenge of this century will be our ability to maintain and enhance our agency amid the growing presence of AI. Why is that? Is it just too simple and powerful and accessible a tool for us to pass up?
I think there are two aspects. And I'm going into this, but maybe just one note in the sidelines, which is that there are a couple of billion people out there who right now are struggling to have electricity, clean water, and food. So for them, the latest ChatGPT model is not their biggest concern. But to focus on the agency piece amongst those of us who are privileged to actually access it, it's this very slippery slope from experimenting with AI towards using it regularly, towards relying on it, and finally to depend on it. And let's face it, the human being is lazy. If we can avoid effort, and in particular cognitive effort, then we walk that line. But the brain is a muscle. Use it or lose it. And it's very easy to become ever more reliant on our always on, always friendly, always available artificial assistants. Like, if I think about myself, when I was a child, I had all the phone numbers of my friends, of my family in my head. Now, I remember my own, the rest is in my phone. I don't know about you. Do you remember the phone numbers of your closest friends and relatives?
Yeah, weirdly. So the friends I had in high school and university, I will still, even though they're obviously in my cell phone contact book and I could just ask Siri to call them, I still dial those numbers on the iPhone of a few of those friends. But sure, the rest of the people I've met post-college, I would have no idea.
And I think that is one illustration of the fact that we voluntarily delegate ever more to our devices in whichever form they may come. And so far, it was something relatively rudimentary, like the phone. But now you can delegate everything from drafting to writing to calculation to design. That's why I'm so adamant about agency amidst AI, which requires double literacy. On the one hand, of our own brain and body, and on the other hand, of the AI tools that we admit into our work and life, not just what's the latest tool, but also how do they work? What's the logic underneath? And both of these literacies should be embedded in a holistic understanding of the self and society.
And does that get to, you use the word pro-social to modify AI. What is that?
So pro-social AI refers to AI systems that are tailored, trained, tested, and targeted to bring out the best in and for people and planet, which is the main distinguishing factor as compared to any other technology that's right now out there. Because the first, second, third industrial revolutions, they were all driven by commercial interests. There was not one of them that was motivated and catalyzed by social interests. And AI being a general purpose technology, we can't leave it at that.
One of the big questions, and it's one that you tackle in your book, and helpfully using a lot of key words that begin with the letter A, how do we start to take on this challenge? And what are some of the guardrails you suggest?
So I guess you referred to the A frame: awareness, appreciation, acceptance, and accountability. And they all four relate to the mind frame we need to preserve and curate agency amidst AI, including guardrails for our own self and our attitude towards our AI tools. And with awareness, I mean, A, of our own relationship, as you said at the beginning, with AI. The second one is appreciation of what makes us as humans and as a person unique. What are the aspects that we do not want to delegate and that we will always keep as a human aspect, but also appreciation of where there could be complementarity with the AI and the NI, the natural intelligence, and acceptance of what are the limitations, both of our own self and of the AI tools, and finally accountability for the outcomes, which I think is really important to remember, that no matter how sophisticated our artificial intelligence is going to be, humans remain accountable.
And to be sure, you highlight some of the what you see could be great positives to come out of this, adapting to climate change, collective intelligence, if it's harnessed for good and representative of all people, maybe to allow us to understand and experience emotions more fully, I think was another example you found.
Yeah, and so just to be very clear, I'm neither against AI nor for AI in any given case. It's happening no matter what we desire in that regard. But I think we need to channel it in a way that serves those who need it the most first. Like, for example, we are currently working here on an application for caregivers of individuals with disability. I think there are a wide range of opportunities to leverage AI not primarily with the idea of how can this bring in more money by making businesses that have a pure for-profit vocation even more efficient and effective, but to seize it first as a tool that can open access for people who may currently be excluded, be that from education, be that from healthcare, be that from communication areas. So I think there are a lot of possibilities, but again, we can't really sit back and relax and wait until there are some positive outcomes that come for us.
Doctor, for those who hear this, maybe on a micro level, for those who hear this and want something tangible, something to maybe try in their own lives to practice mindful technology use, and you know, they want to explore artificial intelligence, but also want to enhance and practice their human intelligence. What do you have for us? Anything we can do?
Two things, actually. Yeah, at least. So one, the A-frame that I mentioned before. Ask yourself these four questions. Awareness. What's your relationship with AI? What's your relationship with technology? The second one, appreciation. What makes you unique? What do you never want to see replaced by an artificial entity? Acceptance. What are your limitations? What are you not good at? What is it that you actually would like to explore further, but where you just feel that you don't have enough skills? Maybe you have a lot of great artistic ideas in your head, but you just feel you are not good at drawing or you're not good at designing. Well, maybe now you could accept some help from an artificial entity. Like, there are a great range and they're exploding of tools out there in the AI space that help you bring your ideas into a visualized manifestation. Experiment. And the last one is accountability, which is also this very human element of keeping in mind that no matter what's going to come out of it, no matter what you're going to experiment with, it remains you, the human being, at the end of the day, that is accountable.
So if you could get Sam Altman, Mark Zuckerberg, and Elon Musk in a room, first of all, I'm sorry for putting you in that position, but if the three of them were in a room and you could give them some piece of advice, some admonishment, some hope, something to express to them as they continue their work on AI, so thinking about it from a macro level.
I think there's two things at least, and probably more, because it's an enticing perspective that you're currently putting into my mind. So one, which is that they systematically invest in double literacy, which is what I mentioned before. On the one hand, literacy of the brain and body, and on the other hand, AI literacy. And that this is something which should be integrated systematically in schools, in institutions, in kindergartens. So from an early age, that children do not grow up in an environment where they learn by doing, because we have seen what happens with social media. All the science that is pouring in is showing that it hasn't been good for the majority of them. So that's the first thing. Invest systematically in double literacy. And the second thing is to invest in an institution, or at least, I would say, a pro-social AI dialogue to bring together all those parts of society that need to have a say when we talk about a hybrid future, which means the private sector, which means the public sector, which means academia, which means organizations such as the UN, and which means the arts. All of those pieces across all generations need to have a say. Because if we want to live in a sustainable future, then we need to give everybody a chance to be part of the design.
She She has one more piece of advice for us. Don't be afraid of AI. Think about it like the computer, like the smartphone. Play around with it. Create confidence with it. It's a tool to be used with cautious curiosity, she says, that helps us learn more about ourselves. Penn Senior Fellow Dr. Cornelia Walter, her latest book is called Human Leadership for Humane Technology, The New AI, Agency Ignited.